This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Mattoon, and today, in order to help me help you twice as much, I have some new friends here, Cassidy Davis and Mallory Fuchella, in the studio.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh my God, thank you for being here. I did have like a slight panic attack when I was about to say your name.
I saw it in your eye.
You really hit the C's hard. Fuchella. I love it.
It does sound like a pasta, and that's what I like.
Ooh,
about it.
Yum.
Yes. Every time I see orecchiette on a menu, I think, and I know it doesn't sound like Fuchella, but it looks like it.
Yeah.
And that's how you say orecchiette, right?
Orecchiette.
Oh.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Go by Fuchella now.
Yeah, you should go by Fuchella.
If Fuchella was a pasta, what would it look like?
Hopefully, like a bow tie, a mix of a bow tie and a shell, because those are my two favorite kinds.
Yummo. Mm.
Right?
Bow tie is your favorite?
One of, because it holds the sauce really well.
You know what else does?
Ah.
Rigatoni.
Oh.
You got a big, big hole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big, big hole.
And they fill that hole.
They fill that hole.
With sauce, yeah.
They do. For the voices that you're hearing, that is Cassidy and Mallory. You may know them from their web series, Adulting. The whole thing is out right now.
So the first season is out on Amazon Prime, and we're releasing the second season right now.
How exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
I cannot wait to get so far into that. But before, we've got to learn more about you guys. After a quick internet stalk, we found out that...
Oh, God. I'm nervous.
I found that once a director who casted you, Cassidy, in his short asked you out via email a day later...
Yes.
Is that true?
That is true. Oh my God, how'd you find that?
Honestly, the
internet. You guys are good.
Wow.
That's some deep shit. Right?
How long ago was that?
That was a few years ago, like probably 3 years ago. Yeah, I was like really upset by it.
You were?
Yeah, because so it was like he cast me in a short and then he was playing the lead opposite of me and it was like a romantic thing. And so like he cast me, I auditioned, he cast me. The next day, he asks me out. And
oh
I was
my
like...
God.
Wait,
like, you're saying get the job?
Right. I was like, so, okay, so you just want to like get to know me like as co-stars, right? And he was like, well, no, I mean, you're great. Like, let's just, you know, let's just go. Like, it was kind of inappropriate. Because I was like, I'm supposed to be directed by you and like feel safe and like artistic. And now I think you just like might have cast me because you want to sleep with me. And that makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so I was like so bummed. I actually didn't end up doing the movie because I was just like this. It was like low budget, short, like just wasn't worth it if that's why I got it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, and then
I was,
you.
Yeah, I just was like, this isn't, I don't feel good about it anymore. And I was like, I'm not going to be a good actor because I'm just going to be on set being like, ugh.
Right.
Ugh, you know?
Oh, that's so sleazy.
I know. Yeah.
Did you delete the email like right away?
No, I screenshotted it and I just kept it to just like remind myself and like remind others that you have to just watch your back a little bit in this industry and have your, like really trust your gut. Like my gut was screaming when I got that email and I was like, this isn't
right.
Wait, something's not right.
Oh
you know?
My God. Have you guys seen the whole thing of Nathan For You, all 5 seasons?
No. But I love that you have.
I have twice.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Have you seen any episodes of Nathan For You?
No.
Oh, I think you guys will love it. Okay.
Dang.
This.
Can you walk us through all five seasons?
Absolutely.
As detailed as possible.
Basically, if you haven't seen Nathan For You, it's Nathan Fielder, who's like this awkward character. It was on Comedy Central for 5 seasons, I think. And he helps struggling businesses out with like ridiculous ideas. And I think the premise of the show, I think these people think that he's actually helping them because like the camera crew and it's like Comedy Central, but maybe, I don't know. All like the one example is he was trying to get more people into this yogurt shop by making a poop flavored yogurt. Just like basically off the wall ideas that could technically work.
Yeah.
Like finding loopholes to everything. It's just the greatest. But it reminds me of that one of the episodes is he staged this whole bachelor or Bachelorette in Paradise type of show in order to like get affirmation that like women wanted him as like a big joke. Yeah. And so that's what it reminded me of, like this guy. I'm sure he wasn't looking just for love or to sleep with someone, but like when he found you, he was like, oh, I can use my me like making this film as a way to like get into your pants. And I hate that.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's sort of one of my biggest fears always. And I think probably like a lot of women, it's, you know, you're just, especially if it's a really intimate, like romantic thing, you're just hoping that everyone on that crew and on that set is like has their best foot forward and is like really there to like tell the story and not for anything else. And I'm always just like constantly worried that that's not the case and that like something, it's not for the right reasons, you know?
Right.
And so this was like my first instance with that. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. All
when
right.
You have like a hot gay co-star, you're like, yes.
Yeah. Thank Why you. Is that so relieving?
I know. I don't know, but it is.
Yeah, it's like, you're not going to make this weird. Let's do it.
Oh, has it happened since then? Or is it just that has been like the one cautionary tale?
No, I mean, that's been like pretty much the one cautionary tale. And now we produce a lot of our own stuff. And now I'm like hyper aware that even when we cast guys, I'm like so professional about it. And like not like even looking at it from that perspective at all. Because I want them to feel comfortable in our space as well. Like I never want to do that to someone either.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
Although we did have a couple of really hot guys audition. And once they left the room, we were like, wow.
Oh, yeah, we objectify them hard.
You're like, we're not going to hire you, but here but is our God number for other reasons.
Right, right. Hope our paths cross in the future, if you know what I mean.
I love that. Well, now we know a little bit more about you, but let's go even further.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a game I like to call Burst of Firsts because it's called Burst of Firsts. And it's a rapid fire round of your first time doing many things in your first job to like the first time you cried in public. There is two of you, so whoever wants to like shout out whichever one, you can also say it at the same time.
Okay.
We usually only have one guest, so however I love also having more people.
Yeah, it feels like a party. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay, so whoever wants to shout it out, you can both do it. Let's get into it. What's your first job?
California Tortilla as a spunky cashier.
Ooh. First cell phone.
I had the really lame, like, digital one that doesn't flip, and all I wanted was a razor, and I never got it.
I never got a razor either.
Sad. First pet.
Golden retriever.
No, for you?
I had a goldfish named Goldsy who tried to kill itself, but I saved it.
Okay, stop. I forgot to tell this part. If I say stop, you have to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story. How did the goldfish want to commit suicide?
Okay. No one believes me on this, but this is a real true story.
Can't wait.
I left my goldfish Goldsie, also like the most creative name ever. Like, let's talk about that. So I left it alone for the day. I come back and my other goldfish, Nemo, very, again, creative.
Normally you brought the fish to school.
No, like
most fish spend the day alone.
Right? You're correct.
Wait, why was this day different?
I don't know. Okay. Ask Goldsie, right? Okay. So he's the one who's suicidal. So I left, I come back. Goldie's nowhere to be found in this little tank. Ooh. Nemo's freaking out. Nemo is circling like, emergency, 911, 911. Goldie's not here. I'm literally like, where's Goldie? Like, there's only Nemo. And then we look everywhere. Goldie is flopping behind my like desk. Like, he leapt out of the tank and was like flopping behind my desk, like alive still. And I don't know how long he was there, but my dad came in and had to like take the little pieces of carpet out of his lungs and put him back in the tank. And he lived for another like 2 years.
What?
But he like literally tried to commit suicide. Like, he jumped out of the tank, right?
Wow. Wait.
How else would he have gotten there?
And punctured his lungs. Yeah. And he's like, I hate that man. To your dad in the tank, like, I hate that guy.
And I'm like, you're going to stay around Goldsie for another 2 years, motherfucker.
Wow.
I know.
Wait, it wasn't from like a fair. You didn't get Goldie from Affair.
No, I did. Yeah. It was one of those things that you thought would only live for 2 weeks, but both Goldie and Nemo were like survivors forever. They lasted for like 5 years, and Nemo had a really bad digestion problem and actually couldn't eat the food, the fish food. And so he'd float upside down at the top of the tank because his tummy was full of gas. But people just thought he was dead, and they thought I was in denial about the fact that my fish was dead. They're like, I think Cassidy, I think he's just. And I was like, no, Nemo just does that.
Oh my God. This should be a kid's story about like,
you could
perseverance.
Do
yeah, perseverance. Or some sort of like existential children's book about, I don't know.
We had to feed Nemo frozen peas so that he'd float back to the bottom of the tank, and then Goldie was suicidal.
How did you pick peas of all things?
We looked it up online, and it was like, you have to either make your own fish food from scratch. With my whole family was like, we're out.
What's other fish food? Dandruff?
I have no idea. It's like this oven recipe that you'd like cook in the oven for like 3 hours. It was like insane.
Cooking fish food is outrageous.
Yes.
It is so funny.
And my parents were like, this is bullshit. We like just got these fish to make you feel happy for like 2 weeks. And now it's like 2 years in. We're not about to like commit really hard to this. So we just did peas, and Nemo fought for his life. Yeah. And they survived for a long time. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Moving right along. Okay. First kiss location.
Under my friend's stairs.
I was on stairs as well.
Okay, very interesting. First major purchase.
A couch.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know.
Or, I mean, as a kid, I bought, like, miniature shoes with all of my money, which was, like, $50.
Miniature shoes that fit you?
No, that might fit my fingers. And
that's major? Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah.
First choice in a karaoke book.
Be My Baby, the Ronettes.
Ooh. Don't forget to remember me, Carrie Underwood. It's sad. I don't know.
First internet screen name.
Curtain Call 108.
Italian Chica 22.
First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone?
Dead.
Good.
Both are good, acceptable answers. First celebrity crush?
Clay Aiken.
Channing Tatum.
First concert?
American Idol Clay Aiken tour.
This Italian artist.
Stop. Mallory, how much do you love Clay Aiken?
I did. I loved him a lot. I thought he had a voice like velvet, and my elementary school teachers were like, you're such an old soul for, like, connecting with him, you know? I know things came out about him later, but I'm not.
Oh, did they?
Is that true?
Let's not talk about that, because I had a poster of him, and I would kiss his poster every night before bed. Like, he was like, but it wasn't like a crush, like, God, he's so hot. It was like, you have a voice so smooth.
It was an artistic crush.
It was an artistic crush for sure. Yeah, I went Ruben Studdard one that season. Oh, we made a Clay Aiken cake. Like, my whole class, like, it was like a funeral the next day. I wore black, and they were like, we knew you'd be so bummed.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But do you remember him and his voice?
Oh, I remember
Bridge
him.
Over Troubled Water, when he did that rendition.
I just remember him singing a song about, like, watching you while you sleep.
Okay, so that, I think, is what came out.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, move on.
First scar.
My friend cut my stomach with glass.
What? Stop. You guys, I don't think we'll ever get to the episode.
We're really weird.
What are you, like, on purpose?
No, I think by accident. I just remember being in my bathroom and my stomach was bleeding, and she was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, that's okay. Oh. It happens. I think.
It doesn't happen.
I think something broke, and I think she, like, turned and it cut me. I forget.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I just remember bleeding from my stomach, but being really relaxed about it, but being like, no worries.
Did you get stitches?
No, no.
Okay.
There's a scar right here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You know, okay. Friends should happen, you know? You cut each other, you bleed, you move on.
That's the beginning. That's a precursor to your period. I got to get used to bleeding from my stomach. Okay, here we go. First thing you do when you like someone?
Ignore them.
Oh, go up to them.
Nice. I'm learning a lot. First show you binge watched?
Oh.
Friends.
I think Friends.
Oh. First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans?
Anxiety attack.
I'm going to wake up early.
And last thing, first time you cried in public.
I got lost in a Blockbuster.
Someone probably just like made fun of me, I think, and I cried. No, it's okay. I'm over it.
When my friend stabbed me with ice. Yeah, it's
Wow, I feel like I know you guys so well.
That's a fun little game.
That's a great game.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. The music really helps.
Yes.
Pull it along.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, the whole goal is to like get you really anxious before we start to relax. It's a whole release is what's going on. Okay, how about a question from a caller?
Oh, cool.
This is called Side Hustle. So let's see what we got.
Hi, Megan. I'm from New Jersey. I'm 22 years old. And one of my questions was, what is a good way or some good advice? What's a good way advice to make extra cash? Like, I work a part-time job and, you know, it's pretty good in there, but, you know, I would love to make extra money. Should I get another part-time job or should I sell my clothes or I don't know. Just I need advice on that, please. And thank you.
Yay.
Nice.
The clothes part, like, actually works.
Yeah.
You guys ever use Poshmark?
Yep.
No.
Yeah. It takes forever, but, like, so worth it. Do you ever sell your clothes to, like, a Crossroads or a whatever, at, like, any consignment store, like, consignment store, a consignment store? It's just on the beach. Oh, my God, I love it.
I would be so much more likely to do it if you're on the beach.
Like, ever sell your clothes, like, a big-ass, like, bag of Marie Kondo clothes and just selling it? Have you ever done that?
I've tried to go to, like, Plato's Closet.
Right.
They very rarely take, like, Old Navy stuff or Gap stuff. But they have taken a few things, and then Poshmark, and then I donate the rest.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad idea, selling anything, really. Like
your body.
That's one thing.
But, like, there, or even thrifting. Like, I love doing, like, yard sales and thrifting, but I usually keep it for myself. But I wonder if he were to, like, go to some thrift stores, refurbish some things, and put it up on the internet. Like, that would be, and it's a fun, that would be a fun side hustle. What was his name?
We don't have names.
Oh, okay.
Because of anonymous.
Oh, that makes sense.
Are you from
Jersey,
the East Coast?
Yeah.
Right, because you said Plato's Closet, and I was that doesn't exist over here.
And you're Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. We both grew up near each other, but not, like, we didn't know each other growing up.
Where did you grow up?
Near Philly.
Yeah.
Outside of Philly.
Oh! Mm-hmm. What do you, this is a question everyone from Philly gets, or like around Philly. What are the two cheesecakes?
Gino's.
Cheesesteaks.
Oh, Gino's and Pat's.
But Gino's and Pat's.
They're not the best ones.
What's my best one?
Tony Luke's.
Oh my God, really? Yeah. My favorite's Alessandro's.
Why?
Well, Alessandro's will cook the cheese in the steak with it as like one big thing.
Like a cordon bleu? Like in the steak?
Yeah, so like it's like, well, it's like the steak is like cut up already.
Oh, so it's like mixed in.
Yeah, and they'll mix it in on the grill, whereas a lot of other places will like put the steak on in the bread and then put the cheese on top, and then the cheese will just eventually melt.
I see.
But Alessandro's will cook it in together. And that's
how Pat and Gino's both do that, the bread, steak, then add the cheese.
Yeah.
And then Tony Luke just has a better cut of meat, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then you guys moved here at the same time?
About the same time, yeah.
But not... like, we met kind of out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, our story's weird. We're running alongside each other, but never, like, crossed paths until we came out here.
Yeah.
Kismet.
Yes.
Wow.
Totally.
Where did you meet? Where was the location of actually meeting?
Mercado.
Mercado, that is...
On Venture, or in Cuenca.
Yeah.
Mexican
it's restaurant.
Mexican. Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, they've got a good brunch there.
Oh, do they?
Really?
Because they have a great happy hour.
They have a great happy hour.
Oh, wait, so were you guys there, but like separately?
No, we
or
had
a
planned
friend
to
group?
Meet there.
Yeah, she then, had just moved here, and I had been here maybe like a month longer or something, and she was like, oh, we should get drinks. Like, we went to the same college, so we were like, oh, let's get drinks because we kind of know who each other are, and then like that drinks, we just like hit it off, and we were like, why haven't we hung out before? Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. How many years ago was that?
Almost three and a half.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. Can't wait to get into that.
Okay, but
side hustle first.
Yes, let's get to it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we have so many side hustles between the two of us.
Right.
That's
I was going to say, why don't we just list those?
Yeah.
Because, like, I do transcription work, which is actually super fun. And he could do that, like, literally from your home. And I think that's what's important about if you're going to do a part time job, like, another one, don't be like running yourself thin for 12 hours, like running from job to job.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest like a transcription job. You just like type audio from like court cases, or sometimes you get TV shows. And there's a couple of sites, and he would just have to pass like a typing test. So that's one of mine.
Yeah. One of my side hustles is I teach workout classes.
Okay.
So it is sort of like a steep learning curve up top. Like, you have to get certified in it. But once you get certified, the hourly rate's pretty good. And like, it's a great way to interact with people. And it's only like 1 or 2 hours a day. Like, it's pretty like right. low maintenance in that way. So I'm not sure if that's a passion of his, but that's a good way to like help people.
You could also invent something. No, I'm just kidding.
I love that.
But I haven't invented anything. But every time I'm like, yeah, just invent something.
Just invent an app.
Just do it.
But yeah, invent an app.
Yeah, or you could Uber maybe. A lot of people out here do that.
Yeah, Postmates, all those.
Babysitting,
yeah. Dog walking.
Wow, you guys are full of side hustle ideas. The transcription so job is yeah. so interesting yeah. because I love typing.
Oh,
Where do you go?
I work for two companies. One is called Rev, and they're just online, rev.com. And
oh, I got served an Instagram ad from them.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. They want you.
I think a friend texted me about, because for this podcast, we take like a 30-second soundbite and then have like the text come up. And so they were like, how do you do that? And then it was like, I made a tutorial. Like an in-house tutorial for my team. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so hilarious that I did that. And he was like, the video is private. I can't see it. And I was like, okay, well, never mind then. And then like an hour, then Rev like served me an ad that was like 90% of people watch videos on the toilet on mute. Mm. So like you need our service. And it's all, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never thought of it in that world. Right. So you would be like almost, I would type for you. You would put your stuff up there and then get a transcriptionist. Right?
Yeah, that's what I guess Rev was telling me that I needed.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But, and then, I mean, just reaching out and looking up, you know, things on the internet. New Jersey's close to New York. I'm sure there's companies in New York and DC too, like politics.
Yeah.
So if there's, I would also start with an interest.
Yeah.
Because if you're not interested, it won't last.
Absolutely.
I feel like all my side hustles, I have an interest in them to some degree, which, you know, makes it bearable.
Yeah. And I think also like the level of commitment you want, like if you want something just easy at your house, that's one thing. And if you want something to be like get more in the world and more with people interactive, then that's like a different type of side hustle.
Yeah. You having know? Like a specific
I wish we knew what
attached.
He did.
Yeah. Ooh.
Does it say that?
No.
Okay.
We can make things up.
Yeah.
He's an author.
He sounded like a mechanic.
I think that, if he's working one part-time job, I've worked a couple jobs at the same time, and I didn't love that, because, one day I'd be going to, like, the bagel restaurant, and one would be going to, like, the sports bar, and then, like, getting them mixed up would suck.
Yes, right. It's exhausting.
I like the idea of having one, like, in-person part-time job, the one that he already has, and then, like, one that you can do from your house.
Yeah.
I would say if you are trying to sell clothes, like, on a Poshmark or a Depop, like, it's going to be a lot more work than it, I think, may be worth. So if you've got the extra time, then like definitely do it. Cause I think I made like $1,000 off of Poshmark one time.
Wow.
But I sold like a lot of stuff and it takes a lot of time.
Right.
And like you get like ratings. So if you don't write a nice little thank you card or like pack it nicely with like tissue paper and stuff, like it could like affect your rating.
Really?
And then it just kind of way more work. Unless you have a lot of time, then I would suggest maybe not doing Poshmark or Depop.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is a good piece of advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, best of luck. Yeah. I think you guys helped immensely.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, good. That's right up our alley.
Yeah,
we can
really
do that all day.
Okay, well, now that we've helped one person, let's get into, I'm so interested in like your dynamic. So, do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you met 3 years ago. Over drinks, what did you guys order? Gotta know.
Spicy margarita.
Yeah, margarita.
Chips and guac.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You remember.
Save the receipt.
Wrote it off.
True.
So then, were you guys like, I want to work with you immediately? Or you were just like.
You might have thought that. I wasn't really thinking that. I was just like, you know, when you move, you want your network. And I had gotten a piece of advice from like an acting teacher, like reach out to everyone in your first circle, then the second, you know what I mean? And that'll help build your network. And I hate that word, but like a friend of a friend, like, yeah, sure. Like, let's hang out. And then I think that was the day you told a story about waiting tables. And I was like, God, this girl's funny. and I was like, so relatable. And like, cause I don't think upon first meeting people are like,
not honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, here was like a big flaw that, or no, like a big mistake that happened.
It was
happened.
A failure. Yeah. Like, I failed at waiting tables and I told you all about it. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this chick's cool. What do you think of me?
Yeah. Tell
I thought you were really pretty. no, I just remember like being, I was like, I just laughed for like 3 hours with this girl who, and I just remember thinking like, why didn't, because we knew who each other were in college, but we were running very different circles. And so she had a different perspective of me than what I really am. And I had a similar, different one of her than what she really is.
Well, go into it. Why are you keeping us waiting?
Cassie was on the dance team.
Okay.
And so I was she working hard in the basement of the theater.
Oh my God.
No, it's so funny.
Yeah. I thought she was like a really, like, dramatic, like, actor, and like, who was in dark clothes and like was brooding and like really serious. And I know she thought I was like this, like, dumb little cheerleader who was like, go pit. And so I think she was like, she told me, she was like, when you moved to LA to be an actor, we were all like, who's this girl who like thinks she's gonna do this thing? And I was like, intimidated by her because I was like, she's a real artist, Cassidy. Respect.
Oh, God.
Her. Yeah, and we met up and we were both like, oh, we're both cool. Like, we're both normal.
We're kind of the same.
We're
too.
Very similar. Yeah. And so we kind of like, our earth, like, our perspectives, like, shattered a little bit.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally.
Oh my God.
It's just like,
just
a sweet...
so everyone knows, they just took turns touching each other's knees. That was so cute. Okay, we're going to jump in so much more, but first we're going to take a tiny little break while Cassidy and Mallory give us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Cassidy and Mallory, still here in the studio, did not leave yet. Before we get into the next act, what are you both completely obsessed with right now that you need everyone to know about?
Mm.
Oh, what are you going to say?
I don't know.
I'm going to base my answer off of what you said.
Well, my first thought that I had was Fleabag.
Ooh.
On Amazon Prime. So I don't know if that is that in the world of
Okay,
it's not really a lifestyle thing. I do think that show is like pretty groundbreaking, and everyone should watch it because I think about it every day.
What's your favorite part about it?
Season 2 and the reveal with the priest when he's like, yeah, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But I would say, what was the question? Obsessed with?
Anything you think that people should know about because you love it so much.
Yeah, I think... But your listeners probably know about that show. But okay, yeah, Fleabag on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, and Adulting Web Series.
Oh my God.
Yes!
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Absolutely.
I'm obsessed with a game actually Mallory introduced me to called Diner Dash. Honestly, don't download it because your whole life will be gone.
Wait, do you have Gordon Ramsay one?
Yes. Oh, wait, there's a Gordon Ramsay app?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It is
addicting. So addicting. Wait. I have opened like 30 new restaurants in the last 10 days. And I am so proud of it.
Wait, I think I've played a game similar years and years ago, like when I used to play The Sims. Because it's Sims in
it
a restaurant.
It is like The Sims. Yep. Yes.
What?
Sims is great also.
Oh my God.
Like RIP my whole life.
It's, yeah. No, for sure. I think they just came out with Sims 4. Maybe not just, but I saw someone just start playing it.
I can't do it.
Because I cannot.
It'll be
it's
3 weeks. I won't leave my house.
I won't leave.
Yeah.
It's,
I'll be like
all I think
making
about.
Families.
Yeah. Well, that's why I had to delete the app because it was all I was thinking about.
Yeah, I had a dream about it the other night where I was like, oh my God, there's 3 burgers and a milkshake and I have to make it and there's only 10 seconds left. Like, it was pathetic, I will say.
Your stress dream was...
Yeah, it was about Diner Dash,
Oh, it's the same game. Yeah, I've played this game before. Yeah. You've just recently started playing?
No, I'm like... 4 months in, and like I said, 30 restaurants, not to brag, but 30 restaurants are open.
You'd be proud.
I mean, I'm very proud. And I have like 5 Michelin stars. It's just like, it's a whole.
Michelin star.
Is that what they're called?
Michelin.
On the
Michelin.
App?
Oh, I was like, oh, that's a cute name for the app.
I thought it was
no, it's
Michelin.
Like the purple stars anyway. Yeah. So one person will know what I'm talking about and will be like, yes, I get this girl.
Okay, Diner Dash.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay edition.
I can't wait to get into both. I mean, I've seen Fleabag.
Yeah.
Very good. I have played Diner Dash, but I will go back into it now.
Equal weight, I'd say. Equally groundbreaking.
Oh my God. Okay. This is interesting because I've never done this before on the pod. I had this idea this morning.
Oh, cool. I'm excited.
That I really like talking about people's processes. And I really like this is perfect because of adulting, your web series, and we can get so much into that in the process of the whole thing. I don't have a title for this segment yet. So those of you listening, give me a title maybe. But I did make this tiny 3-second intro that I will probably get yelled at from my lawyer.
Watch the breakdown.
Cool.
That was amazing.
I made
mic drop. You're
this
done.
This morning, while I was waiting for my coffee.
Wow.
And I was like, maybe
impressive.
The lawyers won't say anything because it's so short. And also, I put like little basses in there. So it's like kind of
it's totally
disrupting the sound wave. You know?
Little basses.
So anyway, something about breakdown. So we're going to break down your creative processes.
I love that.
Cool.
So let's talk about adulting for the people that maybe don't know what it is.
Sure. So it's a web series about two girls, Katie and Charlie. I play Katie, Mallory plays Charlie. And they just graduated college. They move out to LA to follow their dreams. And they think they know how to be successful adults. And then they pretty much fail at everything they try to do in the world of adulting. So the first episode of the first season, we're apartment hunting. It doesn't go well. And then it follows them through mattress shopping and through cooking on their own for the first time, where they don't know the difference between a head and a clove of garlic. And, you know, we've all been there. So it just really follows like the adulting aspects of life and how no one really knows what they're doing. And these two girls try their best and just ultimately fail every single episode.
I love it. I watched the first, I think, two.
Oh, great.
So great.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
I love the mattress character, like that little trio moment.
That's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. So, like, I've never made a web series before. That sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I mean, when you think about it, our first season was 5 episodes, and each episode was around 7 minutes in length. So it's like 35 minutes of content. It does feel like we made 5 little short films with how we produced and shot it. So it's definitely, I talk about it like as if it's birthing a baby. And I know like moms probably hate that because they're like, you have no idea. And I'm like, I get it, ladies. Like I birthed a baby and I totally relate. But it does feel like that. Like I felt like our first season.
Later, you have another one.
I know. Yeah. I felt like our first season just started walking and then people were like, when's the second one coming out? And I was like, oh my God, I just like started healing. Like I just went back to like a social life. Like, okay, I guess we're going to birth another one. And so then we are birthing one right now. And we're,
wow.
How far should I take this analogy?
Yeah, I don't know. I think
really,
it's born.
Really far.
It's born and we're like
infantile
breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Just amniotic fluid all over the pages. Sides? No. Umbilical cord. So wait, when you're thinking about, I asked a bunch of people on Instagram also like what they would want to know about creative people's processes because this morning has been very like, I need to get into everyone's brains because I'm also so compelled with how it works because like making anything in the creative field is like detrimental at times and then like gratifying more than anything else. It's like heroin and fucking whatever will kill you.
Right.
I guess heroin.
Yeah. It's both the high and the low of heroin.
Yes.
So, that's a really great way to put it.
Totally. So I guess like take us through the process of making something so big. Like where does the idea come from? Like is it from real life? And then from there, how does it get on the pages? How do you guys work together? How did you birth this?
Yeah. I think the beginning was just Cassidy coming to me with the idea of like, you know, we're all in this together and like all these frustrating things. I think if everyone saw them, might feel better, right? Like, so making something funny and relatable was like the first thing I would say.
Yeah.
And your idea and coming to me and then us partnering. And then Cassidy really handled the first season in terms of crowdfunding, getting all the crew together, really producing the heck out of it. And then season two, it was like, let's see if we can make this bigger. And we had a few people that came on season one that loved the project too. And then it became more of like a collaborative thing among the four of us. Which helps just grow, right? Like we were able to raise more money, just up the production of it a little bit.
Yeah.
How do you find crew? Like, have you produced before? Or did you like reach out to people that you knew? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so we really wanted to hire women, so we reached out to a lot of, like, women in film networks. The first season, my friend was a DP, so he did us a solid, and then he knew a guy who was a sound person. So it was a lot—the first season, we kind of, like, pieced favors. Together. Yeah, with favors, and we don't really have money, so it's anyone who will help. And, like, it was a really, like, grassroots type of thing. Like, one of our actors was then holding a flag for the other half of the day when she was done shooting. You know, it was like, we're all in this. We're all, like, doing our best. And then the second season, we really were like, okay, we're going to raise enough money to really pay people and really hire a full crew and really only hire women. So the first season we went in with the intention of hiring a lot of women, and then we were like, oh, actually we don't have a lot of money, so it's kind of whoever will do it and whoever we're friends with. And so we looked around and ended up being like, mainly men and some women. And then this season we were like, we're going to really hire women. So we took a lot of meetings with people, we posted in a lot of groups, and we basically, like, posted the job a lot of places, and then I would go on meetings with them and kind of get their vibe, get the rate that they're going for, and see if they would good fit for our family.
Cool.
Yeah.
When it comes to writing the actual script, do you guys write together? Do you sit together, or does one person write it and then give it to the next person for notes and then change? How does that work?
So the second season, we have a third writer as well, Jenna Simmons, who directed the second season as well. I just want to include her in this discussion. but do you want to go?
Yeah, we all wanted to write it. And I think, like you said earlier about you're getting into the groove of this whole thing, I think that's true of any creative process. Mm-hmm. And I think sort of towards the end of us writing it, we really got into it. Mm-hmm. But then we were like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
But it was a year. And, like, that's not how long. Like, people can bang out scripts really fast. But we were, like, so wanting to appreciate each person's artistic, like, you know, endeavor and development. So we really did take our time with it. So we split it up, basically. You wrote a couple, I wrote a couple, and Jenna wrote a couple. And then we would come together and punch it up together.
Oh, great.
So conceptually, I think the ideas were all of ours.
Yeah.
That we would take ideas that, like, kind of sparked us, right?
Yeah, and in making the second season, we were at a fork in the road of whether to really lean into the two girls being actors and make it, like, really about actors and struggling in LA. And then we realized, like, the relatability of the show is really the adulting aspect. And if we lean too hard into the actors and the bad auditions we've gone on and all that sort of thing, we're going to lose, like, the audience that is like, oh, my God, I remember my first apartment hunt, you know? So we took so we did write episodes along those lines and then threw them away to took a sharp right turn and just really pulled, like, the adulting aspects out of our own lives. So the episodes I wrote were based on my real life. Episodes you wrote, it was like, what can we really bring to the table from our own life? And that, I think, is the, like, secret sauce to the show, because we're really pulling, like, true stories. And I think that's where the relatability comes from, is that we're punching it up, but it is really based in reality.
It's all true. And like, what, comedy's truth and pain. So, like, the truthful moments of us growing up are a little bit painful, right? But also hilarious.
But also hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's so cool having three different perspectives, too. Because if, like, one person was coming up with all the ideas, they'd kind of blend together.
Totally.
Yeah.
What happens, though, if maybe, it doesn't sound like you guys have any, like, blockages with working with each other, but, like, have you ever been in a situation where you're working in a creative space with other people and, like, you don't vibe with their ideas, or, like, you see something that, like, you want to change, but they're very, like, precious about it and they won't change it? Like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah. This is the trickiest part.
It is the trickiest part.
We love each other and we love Jenna, our third writer, as well. But it is, we were talking about this weekend, it's a balance when you're working with people of when to stand up and when to sit down and, like, when to die on that hill and when to, like, let that thing go. And so we go back and forth a lot. And when we were giving each other notes, there were some things that we would fight back on and some things we'd be like, you're right, that's better. And I mean, and even in post-production, me and Jenna, we, like, will sometimes be arguing about what shot is the best one and what's the best one for the story. And then a lot of times it's like you have to just check your ego at the door and decide what's best for the story and the characters and what's funniest and what's going to land the hardest.
Yeah. And that's really nice that you said that, because we do, like, well, yeah, I love you to death.
Yeah.
And, like, I do think we come into these things, but, like, we have cried and fought, of course. And I think that's also part of the creative process, truthfully, if you're going to collaborate.
Yeah.
Because I think that does also mean that you care, right?
Yeah, like, which I love.
If you're just going to be like, okay, fine, do whatever you want, then you're like, you know, but if you're like, no, I really need this to happen.
Right.
You know, that means you care. So,
and having something to fight and cry over is what excites me the most, is that when the three of us are going head to head about something, I also, like, always take a step back and be like, but how cool that we feel three of us so strongly about this one thing. Like, that's so cool to me. That, and I think the love of the project really shows because of how much we care about every little thing, truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've said that all the time about relationships, is like, the minute that someone stops fighting, is like, they're checked out.
100%.
Yeah. That definitely shows. When, so it took you a year to make the second season or to write it. Is that
to
what
write
you
it?
To
yeah.
write it. So a lot of people were asking how to not give up halfway.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great question. I literally just got chills because it, oh my gosh, keep going if that person's listening, because that is going to give you way more satisfaction than giving up. Right. Yeah. And no matter what it comes out to be, because it could change, just keep going and finish it.
And if you can, like, give yourself an accountability group. I mean, we had writers meetings scheduled, and what I like to do is after when the meeting's ending, we schedule our next one. We don't just like, oh, we'll touch base soon and we'll figure out the next deadline. It's like, no, before the meeting ends, we schedule our next one just to give ourselves all a deadline.
Yeah.
So having an accountability group, I mean, a deadline is what like works for me. I'm not usually like writing. Like most of the times I was editing my episode like 2 hours before our meeting. Like just having someone to hold you accountable that you like trust. And even if you're doing it alone, just having someone who's like, great, in 2 weeks we'll sit down and we'll read your scripts will help you keep going.
Yeah.
But also finding an idea that makes you keep going, you know?
Right, right. And being, I also like being kind to yourself that like, don't give up, but like maybe think about something else that's really going to drive you, right? Because if you don't have the interest, then you probably will give up, which is also okay. But like find something that will keep you going.
But those feelings are so normal.
Yes.
We have them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Even in posts, I'm like, is this even funny? Like we have this all the time where we're like, it'd be much easier to walk away right now than it would be sometimes to release it. Especially I get so nervous every time we release one. I'm like, what if no one likes it? So it's easier to just be like, never mind, and give up and not kind of like share your gift with the world. But the world needs your gift. Yes. Someone always says that.
Yes. And Ira Glass has that quote too of just make it. Just continue to make stuff. So like, don't be so precious about the one thing. Just keep going and make that one, finish that project. And even if you're like, oh, I want to write a feature, maybe make it into a short and maybe just finish the script and then make something else. Like just constantly making work, because he talks about like bridging the gap of like your taste is here and like what you're making isn't, your taste is up here, but what you're making isn't quite there.
Yeah.
But the more you make stuff, that gap is going to get closer and closer.
Yeah.
So, but the only way to do that is to continue to produce content or make stuff.
Right. Stuff. Yeah.
Right. And I feel like another thing that happens all the time, like with wanting to give up and having like self-crippling thoughts, is like being really perfectionistic about things. And so it's hard to finish something if you are like editing and editing and editing, trying to get, I remember one time, I think I edited something so much that it stopped being what it was supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
And then I had to basically scrap the whole thing and start over and go like, the intention of this was to be authentic and real. And it ended up being like polished to like almost like that it wasn't even real anymore. So do you guys ever go through perfectionism? I mean, it sounds like yes.
We're both
like
very type
very
A.
Much
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
But like with scripts or in posts, like how do you get over kind of overthinking so much to where it would stunt you?
Well, I firmly believe that it's better to be out there and imperfect than it is to be perfect with no one seeing it. That's another quote from someone. I'm dropping quotes that aren't mine left and right.
Anonymous.
Cassidy Davis. No, I think Amy Poehler said that. But
yeah, I think you're right.
It's true. Like, it's better to be, it's never going to be perfect. I mean, even watching the episodes from season one, sometimes they're a little bit painful for me because we've come so far. But even watching our newest episodes, I'm like, oh, if I had one more, I would tweak that. But it's like it's better to be out there and be perfect than to just sit there with your perfect script and no one see it, and it's never going to be and it's okay, you know, and like just write that first draft. I like to write the first draft and vomit it out, and even if it's crap, it's okay, because now I have my 9 pages and I can punch this up instead of like staring at 4 blank pages being like, ah, you know, because I wanted to get them perfect, you know. But we also do a lot of table reads with our scripts. And so that helps us get feedback from other people and kind of make sure we're putting ourselves out there and make sure we're making the thing, is to like have someone else read your script and give you feedback. I think also helps you kind of get out of your own head and like know that it's not going to be perfect. And those helped me feel better about the script a lot of times, because people would laugh.
Right.
And I'd be like, great, okay, I'll keep going. Right. Even though I don't think it's perfect, you know?
Right. Absolutely. If you guys, when did you get into the entertainment industry? Like what age were you?
I mean, I've been like, you know, doing school plays everything. But I mean, really, I did a kids tour before moving to LA, which was like not entertainment industry, but it was performing for kids like all over the States, which was so great. But it's really been the 3 years in LA, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I started as a dancer, but when I was 18, I got injured, so I started going into acting and came out here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What piece of advice would you give your 3 year ago old self, like, about acting? Or I guess maybe not so, generally, not so much acting, but, like, in the entertainment industry alone, whether it is, like, something that's people-based, community-based, or, like, project-based. Like, what one piece of advice do you wish someone would have told you? When you started?
I think they even do, like, I still feel like I'm going through this too. Be yourself and find a community of people that are going to support you. Mm. Whether that's a relationship romantically, a friendship, or even if it's your family back home, like, you need people supporting. And just continuing to foster that community, I think, is super important because no one makes it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think, like, staying true to who you are and not losing yourself in the industry, because I think it can be easy to lose yourself and let yourself get taken away. So, like, staying true to who you are and, like, make more time for fun is what I would tell myself.
Yes! Yeah.
Because I don't do
that. Oh, my God. That has been something I've been struggling with for years now. Yeah. But have you heard of escape rooms?
I listened to that episode.
I listened to that episode.
Oh, my God.
But have you? Yeah, that's so great because you're like, I have an hour. I'm going to go have fun in this escape room. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is
that your new thing that you're obsessed with?
It's the thing I've been obsessed with for like 3 years now.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is my baby.
Yeah.
It's just, I've also done all of them. Like, I got a text from a friend yesterday that was like, the reason why we haven't hung out in a while is because you've done all the escape rooms in LA, and like, we're trying to do them now. I'm like, damn it. Like, this is not good for me, but it's the best. If you like The Sims and Diner Dash, it has like that same like urgency and puzzle.
Right.
It's the best.
Oh.
Right. And teamwork. It's all that good stuff. Okay. And people like you said, like you really know
a
person. Once you go through an escape room with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We should do an adulting one.
Yes.
Team. I wonder,
it feels
really.
My, like, nightmare, like, being trapped in a room. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you're not trapped if you get out in an hour.
But what if, like, I have a panic attack and then just, like, sit in a corner? I don't know.
They have little buttons. But
oh, they do. Okay, great.
The thing about that is one time I got trapped into, like, a tiny little chest that was meant for one person. So, like, one person is supposed to go into this chest and you're supposed to close the door and then another trap door opens.
Oh, see.
Hard pass.
Hard pass, especially when it didn't work. Then we're like, maybe we should all get in there. And there's only three of us. So we all cram into this tiny closet made for one person.
No.
We shut the door because we're maybe like, maybe the door needs to be shut in order to do this. Shut the door. I guess something malfunctioned. Smoke starts coming up from the bottom, filling up this chest, and nothing's happening, and we're starting to freak out.
Oh my God.
And we're like, why are we still in here? Oh my God, we can't unlock this door. And then I was like, oh, here's like an emergency exit button. Should I press it? And they're like, yes! I'm just kidding. You know, we all like, go to the same
what's
page.
What's this? This might help.
So I start.
Are we ready to fail, guys?
Do we really want this? So I start pressing the emergency exit button. It is not working.
No.
And I'm like slamming it. And I'm like, you guys, I'm not sure. One of our friends like starts to crouch in the space that we have, which is not a lot. And he's just like has his hands in his
this
head.
Would be me. Unhelpful and panicked.
And then I think the game master who is like watching you from a surveillance camera sees that we're stuck and like runs into the room, unlocks us manually. And he's like, oh my God, what's going on? And we were like, is this wrong? And he was like, it's supposed to. Definitely you guys should not all be three in here. That part is not correct. And then he was like, the emergency exit button is right there. And I was like, I was banging on it. And he was so apologetic. I think he was mortified. He was
I'm like, sure you could have a lawsuit.
For sure.
Yeah. You maybe should.
I honestly could use the money.
Wow. So you were correct, but it should have been one person in there, and
I
then
think
it
so.
Unlocked another door into
right.
the final. Okay.
Yeah, mm. And it was so frightening.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I think you just convinced me to never do it. Yeah.
The reason I didn't make a lawsuit is because I want to go back and do more rooms.
That's true. Or you could sue them and then use the money to open your own.
Oh my God.
That's a great idea.
I've always wanted to make one that's like TSA. Like, at the airport. God,
that's such a good idea.
That's actually
I also want to just throw it back to our New Jersey friend. Make an escape room for your side hustle.
Oh, yes. Oh, good idea. God. That's simple.
Yeah.
I one time was dating this guy who, like, I love Willy Wonka so much. And he was, like, coding a Willy Wonka room just like because he never, I think it was a joke, but then he started getting really into it. And then it never like went to be anything because I think there was one, there's an escape room in San Diego. So like 2 hours from here, for those of you listening that don't have never seen a map before, which was me because I wanted to move to Los Angeles or San Diego because of a dance crew, because I also started as a dancer.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, if I move to this city, like I can be on this dance team. And so I moved to Los Angeles not knowing that it was 2 hours away from San Diego and then being like, oh, I should have consulted a map before this.
Oh, no.
I meant to kind of move there.
You're like, whoops, I guess I'm here now.
Yeah. But anyway, there's an escape room, a Willy Wonka escape room in San Diego. And I was like, I will not go because like it needs to be like correct to the source material and I know it won't.
Oh.
So he was like, I'll make one that's correct.
Wow, that's love.
Is love.
Great boyfriend.
You should have proposed in that escape room.
Once it was done, yeah. Finished. Oh my God. Okay, last segment before we have to say bye. So sad.
So sad. So fun.
Having a blast. So fun. Yeah.
Having a true blast with women.
Yeah.
Four women in this room.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Valentine.
We are here. We are all out here being women. Okay. So I don't, again, have a jingle for this one, and I also didn't make a 2 second bumper for it.
With extra bass.
Two extra bases. It's called Tip Jar. So if you guys want to do like a sound effect or anything, then we'll start.
Oh, good one. Hopefully the lawyers don't come after you for that.
Yeah. That is That one's on me, not Megan.
The Foley Guild is like, we've done that before. They've copyrighted jingling keys. This is Tip Jar.
Oh, right.
The new spin I'm putting on it today is we only get 3 words of advice. So I'm going to say a topic or suggestion that was sent to us, and we have to give one piece of advice using only 3 words.
Ooh, okay.
It might be tough.
I've never
done it before.
Okay.
This is an episode of firsts.
I love it.
I love it.
I also love it.
Three women.
Okay, so our first suggestion is Los Angeles. You have to give one piece of advice, only 3 words. I will go first. My tip is check parking signs.
Oh, oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Podcasts are saviors.
Ooh.
I have so many words in my head. crying in car. Is that advice? It's okay to cry in your car. That's my
yeah. It's absolutely advice. I love it. Okay, so comedy shows. What is
advice?
Only three words of comedy shows.
Find Kate Berlant.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Believe in yourself.
Oh, that's great. I'm loving these knee touches. Also.
We love to touch knees.
Mine is Largo at the Corday. We don't count the, it's an article.
No, absolutely great. Right. Not.
Or at the, yeah. No, great.
Right. We can talk in between them. Okay, great.
We only talk in threes.
Yeah. Lunch.
Oh.
Sourdough.
Ooh.
Avocado turkey.
Whoa. Eat in car.
Loves the car.
I love cars.
Oh, 3 words only about lunch.
Ingredients. I know. I want to change mine to melted cheese always. I don't know.
Oh, that's great.
That's a good one.
Yeah, right?
Oh, like, that's really good.
Words to live by.
Okay, lunch. Oh, my God. What's a good... All I'm thinking about is Mendocino Farms. So I'm
going to
say...
Great.
I'm going to say... What is there? What is that thing that it's called?
The Impossible
Fancy Sandwich, the spicy turkey.
No, it is. It is a sandwich, though.
Is it the chicken one?
There's like
it's a salad.
Oh,
is it the Impossible Taco Salad?
No.
Oh my God, get that next time.
Very good.
Change your life. Those are like 100 words.
Oh, okay. Large curried couscous.
Oh,
ranges.
That's great.
Mendocino Farms.
Yeah.
Okay. We're killing
it. I like this game.
It's hard.
Yeah.
This is hard
because it makes you weed out like the most important thing you need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
3 words only for auditions.
Don't freak out.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's really good.
Be prepared always.
That's really good too. I was thinking, okay. It was supposed to be three words.
Curried couscous.
Large curried couscous. In the car, always.
Cry in the car before you
audition. Oh, God. Mine was going to be, oh, my God. I had two, because I had one for acting, and then I was like, oh, maybe everyone, like, more auditions, like dance auditions or whatever.
Yeah.
Mine was initially, I'll go with my initial one, which is kind of sad, but it was going to be Don't Be Desperate.
Yeah.
That's great.
But that's a good one.
That's a great one, though. Yeah. That's like a high level tip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's, I need that now. Do you know what I mean? Like first starting out, I feel like I wouldn't have understood that. And now I understand that. And I'm like, that's great advice.
Right. Oh, yeah. All of them together, I think, is a great
combo.
Great advice.
Yeah.
We're killing it. Okay. The last one before we wrap up we have one more extra, but that's for later. That was my chair. Here's me farting. Oh, no, okay. So three words only for multitasking.
Oh, Diner Dash.
What have you learned from Diner Dash that we
multitasking?
It is so true.
Burgers and milkshake. It's anyway.
Multitasking.
Oh, it's four.
It's okay.
Okay, oh, getting paid for one.
Okay.
Ooh,
great.
To-do list it. To-do list it. Like,
yeah.
My to-do list is my best friend.
Okay, multitasking. I can only think of charge. Yeah, Omega list.
Yes. I'm sorry. I always say one and then I regret it.
It's so fine, but apologize again.
I just want to apologize to everyone.
Multitasking. Oh, okay. I'm going to say not too often. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, that's good.
Guys, thank you so much. Okay, the last tip, you can use more than three words on this one, but the last tip is advice you would give your younger self. Mm. However young you want to go, whatever age you needed to hear it the most, whether that's 16 before you had a car to cry in, or 23 whenever you moved here, whenever it is, what advice would you give your younger self?
Stay happy.
Mm. It's okay to not fit in.
Oh my God, I'm cold. I was like so hot when this started. We have new lights in here. And now I'm like freezing. This is beautiful. Cassidy and Mallory, thank you so much. Oh,
thank you so much for having us. This is so fun.
Where can people find you? Obviously, Adulting Web Series. Where can we find that?
So you can go to adultingwebseries.com to watch a second season, which is releasing right now. And the first season is on Amazon Prime. And then we're on Instagram and Facebook at Adulting Web Series and Twitter. Mm-hmm. We just added that.
Yeah. That was so well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I always leave that part to her. Because I'm like A-D-U-L-T.
She always wants to spell it. Her instinct is to spell. I love it.
For those of you listening that maybe also have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. I don't have that memorized. I just read it. And I will never memorize it. So call it, save it, because I won't. Give us your age and we'll give you quasi-wisdom. Did we get ages from everybody else? Maybe not. That's something that does help us, though. See you next week on Just a Delish. I never say the words at the end. It's a little comedy bang bang.
I like it.
Love that. Love that.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.